The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to the Meat Improv with me, Josh Simpson.
And me, Jake Jabor.
The Meat is the improv and storytelling podcast where we bring on comedian guests to tell true meaty stories from their lives. And then what do we do with those stories, Jake?
Well, we use them for inspiration, for long-formed comedic scenes.
Improvised comedic scenes.
Yeah,
improvised. Lest you think there's a team of writers. Great. We got a Patreon, and we got T-shirts on TeePublic. You can check all that out on our socials. I'm going to keep that nice and brief today. So let's just get to the show. Today we have two very special guests. First, a first-timer on the show. Welcome, Sam D. Thanks for being on, Sam.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, Sam.
Good to have you.
Hey, Jake.
Hi, Jake. I didn't think I've said hi to Jake. And our second guest is a returning guest. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the last time she was on was right after the election.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there was a time in between. From Cardinal Redbird and all sorts of other stuff. Jamie Gall, welcome, Jamie. Thanks for being on.
Hi.
Hi, Jamie.
I'm happy to be back for my 4-year.
Yeah. That's crazy, episode. Actually.
Mm-hmm. Every 4 years, I'll be here.
Yeah. It was pretty dour. I think we had you booked to be on that show before we got the results of that election.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, I think you all still shared your stories and stuff, but there was a pretty good, I just remember being like, well, we have to talk about it. I don't know. Everyone was just decompressing.
Yeah. There was a bit of a cloud hanging over, like trying to be funny or like trying to improv and just like, I remember it was me and Andrew Hansen and just walking back to our cars being like, I don't even know if anything was funny. I don't know what's, I don't know what to do anymore.
Yeah. It was such a shock. And now we've all adjusted slightly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was sort of the first like smack in the face. And then here we are in 2020 and like, we can't even meet in person anymore. wonderful. All right. Well, let's talk about other stuff.
Yeah.
Since the election's so depressing. I'm still in the great woods of northern Wisconsin. Y'all are in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. I know one thing that I'd mentioned to you, Jake. Have any of you read the book Bird by Bird?
No.
I took Jake's workshop where he did a workshop off of it.
Bird by Bird. I'm only halfway through. I borrowed it twice from the LA library via ebook. And I have not gotten very far, but I was like looking up, I was looking up the author or I was looking it up to like buy the ebook or just see what my options were to like finish it off. Cause I don't want to wait for the library. And, I noticed the author is a white lady with dreadlocks.
Oh, like Rachel Dolezal.
Yeah. Kinda. I don't think she claims to be black. But I guess it took me a little bit by surprise. It's not the aesthetic you're like expecting ever. I think from an older
that book about.
It's about the writing process. Jake, you should probably answer this.
It's like it's basically like I think it's some tips on writing and life or whatever. And the title Bird by Bird comes from the idea that like, it's based on a story where her brother, when he was in like elementary school, put off this report on birds and it was like due the next day and her he was like freaking out, and her dad was like, we're just going to take it bird by bird, buddy. And so the idea is like, you don't have to like, one of the big sort of concepts is like short assignments. Like you don't have to write the next great American novel. You don't need to put that pressure on yourself. You just need to take it bird by bird and like write a little bit. She says like she uses a visual of like a 2-inch by 2-inch picture frame on the screen or wherever. And it's like, all she has to do is fill that space and she'll count it as a success or whatever. So it's just like a very like relaxed approach to kind of like writing or productivity. She's also written novels, but I think that book sort of like was her big kind of thing. She's That's also cool. on that Netflix show.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
my little dive. No, it's that one by the guys who do Adventure Time. Am I lagging?
A little bit, but Majestic or Midnight or...
Yeah, Midnight Gospel. That's
oh,
right.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Okay.
Yeah, they interview her on one of them.
Cool.
That I'm makes... Right oh, what are you reading?
It's about an author. It's not. It's not like a book for writers. It's called The Perfect Marriage, but perfect is crossed out. It's about this man who has an affair, and then the woman he was having an affair with ends up dead, and his wife is like a public defender and is defending him in court, saying that he didn't kill her.
Whoa.
It's really good. I really like it.
That's a pretty good...
It's a good beach read.
Yeah.
But the guy is a writer. The guy who allegedly does or doesn't kill this woman is a writer. So I thought that that's how those two things linked.
Yeah. Well, they're books. That also works.
I'm looking at pictures of this Anne Lamott lady, and I see it. Yeah, she's got dreadlocks.
She does have dreadlocks. Yeah. That's what I was finding. And I just like, I wasn't like trying to do a deep dive, but I found it a little disturbing because I'm halfway through this book and it's good. Like it's, I like was really into it. I was looking to buy it. I still will. I don't really know even where I land on like I wouldn't be a white guy with dreadlocks. I don't think I'd be comfortable doing something like that. I don't know. It's not my place, I think, to call it out. But it was jarring to be like, well, it'd be like finding out like Hemingway wore like jorts or something like that. I wear jorts.
Just appropriating jort culture.
Yeah. I just thought it was interesting. Like it was, I don't know. It's been a minute since I've had, I've had the experience where you like hear someone's voice a lot, and then you like see what they look like in person, and that's a surprise. Yes. I guess authors can totally like, you're just kind of imagining the person a lot. Uh-huh. Like even I'm reading a David Foster Wallace book, and then I see pictures of him, and he's always wearing that head scarf. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. I think it's because he's balding and insecure about it. Maybe.
He sweats a lot. I know that he did sweat a lot, and it. I think it's a like leftover because he's also a big tennis guy. He used to play tennis a lot.
Gotcha. So they do like headbands. So that was a little weird. I don't know. I don't really have anything to say about it. It doesn't diminish the book for me. I was just like, bold choice.
Yeah. I looked up like NPR, what NPR radio hosts look like. And I almost wish that I didn't. I think I liked sort of like how I was imagining them. It's kind of weird when you do it and then you try and go back and go like, where did I pull that image from in my head from? Like, how did I construct just like based off of a voice? I like gave them like hair color and length and like, totally. Yeah, it's weird.
Well, it's like whenever I read a book, I try to like imagine the main characters as like actors or people I know. And it's like, then they turn it into a movie or something. And you're like, oh, that's really not how I would have cast this. Or like, they always say like with like scary stories, like if you're just reading the book, it's so much scarier than if you actually like watch it. Cause you're the one who's making up all the scary like things and
right.
you know how to scare yourself. So
yeah.
I try not to like, I try to, it's hard. Like you want to look it up and you want to see the movie or you want to see the images, but you're like, what? I feel like my mind's just better.
Yeah. I would have that experience. I can remember vividly, like in middle school and high school, my friend John would like see an episode of The Simpsons or South Park that I'd missed. And he would essentially give me the play-by-play of the episode. And it was way funnier, like him telling me about it. And then I would like eventually get to watch it. And I would be like, this is not nearly as good as he like told it to me as it was.
That's very rare.
Yeah. I attribute his storytelling technique, I guess. But there were a few episodes where I was like, even like he must've took some liberties. Cause I was like waiting for parts to happen that didn't happen. And I was like, what the heck? Like, where's that really funny part that he mentioned?
So the line has already started forming outside of the Barnes & Noble. There's a whole lot of fans really excited to meet you. It's sort of up to you what you'd like to do. We can do kind of like we can keep everyone moving sort of like 5-10 seconds at a time. Maybe just get a signature. If you want to do photos, a lot of people like to do that. It could take a little bit longer. I know that your whole book is about like how to really grab the essence of life and get the most out of it. So I know, you know, you might have more of a connection with these fans than maybe say like a, I don't know, like a horror writer. I hate horror writers. Yeah, go ahead.
No, that all sounds great. I'm just wondering when someone's going to be here to do my hair.
You wanted hair and makeup?
Well, I mean, I have a very specific look. I have my dreadlocks. I can't do them on my own. And I think my fans will be a little wary if they just see a straight-haired white woman in here trying to wax poetic about, you know, the world.
Got it. So you want dreadlocks in a matter of minutes.
Yeah. Just get someone, get a tub of coconut oil and get to twist it. I would do it myself, but I don't want coconut oil hands when I'm signing my books and hugging my fans.
Yeah. Whew, you know, I was good. Boy, do I have hair and makeup? This is an ask I'm not familiar with, but you know what? We're very happy to have you, and I will talk to my manager and we'll figure something out.
Okay, perfect. I'm going to be over here looking in this mirror.
You look great, by the way. If it were up to me, I would say I'd take advice from you looking how you are.
Well, it's not up to you. And my brand was not built off of just some basic woman.
Got it.
Thanks.
Loud and clear.
I'll be over.
Right. He goes into a back office. Pete.
Yeah.
We got a situation out there. Carol, the author who's doing her signings today.
Yeah.
She wants dreadlocks, and we're supposed to start the signing in about 5-10 minutes. I don't know how to do this. I don't even know if it's appropriate to do it, but she's demanding it.
I think we got to do it, right? I mean, you know what? Get the stock guy, Sam. He works in the... He stocks all the books in the health and beauty section. I'm sure.
You think he gleaned something from the books as he was stocking them?
I should hope so. That's what books are for. They're for learning, right?
He's not reviewing the books. He's stocking them on the shelves.
Well, he's got to know more than somebody. When George R.R. Martin was in here, we used the guy who stocked the fantasy section and dressed him up as a dragon. So I imagine Sam knows a thing or two about, quick flash dreadlocks.
All right, fine. I'll go ask him.
All right.
He goes out to the health and wellness section. Hi, Sam. Oh,
Josh, you scared me.
Hi. Okay. Listen, I don't know if this is cool to ask or whatever. Do you happen to read any of these books in your section, or do you just stock them?
A little of this, a little of that. I mean,
you skim.
You read some of the books when you stock them.
Okay. Well, we've got our author, Shirley Mackerel. She's signing all the books today. I'm sure you saw the line around the corner. Mm-hmm. She would like dreadlocks in the matter of the next 5 to 10 minutes. Is that possible? I don't even know if you know.
Yeah, I mean, hold on. Let me find the book. Yes. Dreadlocks in 5 minutes or less. I've read this so many times while stocking it.
How long could this book be?
It's a picture book, actually.
Okay. Well, go, Sam. Show me.
Okay, let's go.
We see Sam do it to Josh in 5 minutes as an example.
What the? I don't want this.
What?
Oh my God! I don't want dreadlocks.
You said show me.
No, I meant show me the book.
Oh well, here's the book.
Now I see it in my own hair. You did it. You had all this. These are pretty cool, actually. Right. No, they're not cool. I feel stupid.
What is the holdup? Oh my God, your hair looks incredible.
Yeah, enough with. I don't like it, but apparently it's possible. So
it looks amazing. If someone can do that to my hair, I will sign these books until your store is closed.
Okay. Okay. Just let me get your hair and I'll
hi.
Just...
Oh, thank you. Wow.
Here we go. Dreadlocks.
Oh my God.
Jesus, Sam, you're really good at that.
Incredible. Thank you. I feel like I can finally address my audience as my most authentic self, which is with my dreadlocks.
Okay. Can you undo these?
There's actually a separate book for that, and I haven't read that one yet. It just came in. But give me a few days. I'll stock it. I'll probably read it, and I'll be able to undo those things.
A few days. I have my family portrait coming up.
We got to a week later. Josh.
What?
God. By the way, looks great. I got to say, those dreadlocks are working for you. Look.
I really don't think so.
We got the author who did Moneyball here, and he's insisting that he wants to be able to hit a home run off of a 65-mile-an-hour curveball. So go see if Sam has gleaned anything.
What does that have to do with money? Moneyball's about GM strategy. He doesn't need to know that.
Yeah, it's me, the author of Moneyball, Hank Osborne. I want to hit a fastball.
Yeah,
look at this person. This person has dreadlocks too.
What? Oh, I can hit a fastball because I only have one arm and a dreadlocks. Pitch me a ball. Pitch me a money.
We gotta do it. We got go get Sam.
I think this is the same. Goes up to Sam. Sam, listen. I feel like you're owed a promotion or something because you're. Doing way more than just stocking the shelves. You're kind of keeping this whole place together. Are there any books that teach you how to hit, was it 100-mile-an-hour curveball? That's even a lot.
Hitting a 100-mile curveball. Yeah, I mean, there's this one, how to hit a curveball 90 miles per hour or faster.
Oh, not me.
You said show me, I think.
I don't need these skills. I've got a great job as a PR guy. All right, I've got these dreadlocks I can't manage. And now I can hit a 100-mile-an-hour off-speed pitch.
Have you considered going to the PR section of the bookstore?
There's a PR section?
Yeah, there's an entire PR section of the bookstore.
I already know most of this. Well, I don't mean to talk down to you, but I did 4 years of college at it. I don't think anything in a silly bookstore could teach me anything I don't already know, academically or instinctually. So...
We got to Josh meeting with his manager again. His manager's reading a book, How to Fire an Employee. Josh, thanks for seeing me.
Yeah.
Did you call our bookstore a silly bookstore that can't teach you anything?
Did I say that out loud? I didn't say the whole bookstore was silly. Did I? Listen, is this about the dreadlocks?
No, those look great. They've got on well.
What the hell? My family portrait came back awful. All right, let's get into the meat part of the podcast. This is the part where a guest shares a true meaty story from their life. Sam, you are up first as our first timer. What would you like to talk about?
So my story is about academic espionage.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so before I moved to LA, I was in a PhD program at Duke doing electrical engineering. And doing like AI, ML research, machine learning research. And so I was working on this project that was funded by the Department of Homeland Security.
And Sam, how'd you end up doing improv?
This story leads into it, actually.
Okay, great.
So I was working on this project for Homeland Security. It was to help the TSA detect explosives. So like, you know how sometimes you go through airport security and they pull out like a wand and they swab your hand or they swab your suitcase?
Yes.
So I was working on like an AI algorithm to detect whether or not that swab had explosives on it. So I was working on this project for like 2 years. And then one day my advisor tells me, hey, we got to have like this really huge day-long meeting with the like university's legal team and some like liaisons from the FBI. So we sit down with them and the FBI and like the lawyers, they start telling us about academic espionage and this thing called the Arms Export Control Act, which is this law that was passed in the 70s that pretty much gives the president the power to like veto certain like weapons trade deals just to make sure that like American companies aren't sending guns to like fund some genocide or something. But that also includes like academic research that might be of like military value, which also included like our research. Hmm. So they just started going down a list of like all the things that could like possibly be considered treason. And so like on one end of the spectrum, there's like just actively giving like a foreign spy information that's treason. But also, like, if you go to a foreign country and you have, like, data on your computer, even if you don't give it to someone, that can still be treason.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah. Like, there was actually a professor who got arrested for doing that and, like, went to prison.
So his responsibility or that professor's responsibility would be to secure the data better?
Yeah, to just, like, not even have it on the laptop when he, like, traveled internationally.
Got it. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. You can't have like people from certain countries like seeing any of the work or any of the data. You can't like send an email about the project, like if you're using a foreign country's Wi-Fi. You also can't like talk to like foreign scientists just about like this problem or kind of like pitch ideas and brainstorm together. So obviously like this is kind of impossible to like uphold in a university setting, especially since like almost everyone is a international student. So, you know, we kind of told them that and they were like, okay, well, we have a solution. We have this like center located off campus, where we want you to drive to every day and like plug, like launch in like code and then like, get in. And this entire building is secured so that no signals can enter or leave the building. So like no Wi-Fi, no mobile data, no cell. The only way to communicate with the outside world when you're in the building is through their dedicated Wi-Fi or like a landline they have for you. And they're like, we just want you to be there and like work there all the time. And obviously like I was like, no. And my advisor was like, that's a terrible idea because, you know, how would I like text my friends and like get on Facebook and like use dating apps, because, you know, that's pretty big for me at that time. I was like 23. And so we were like, hey, I don't think we're going to do this project anymore. And my advisor was like, yeah, that's a good idea. We can find something else else for you. And at that point, I was already like 3 years into the PhD program and I wasn't really feeling it. And so I told my advisor, like, I think I'm going to quit. And I've been doing this like improv thing lately. So I think I'm going to try that. And then, yeah, that's how I left the PhD program.
After 3 years, how much more did you have left?
Well, the thing is, like, they put so many restrictions on my project. Like, they said you can't publish any of this research. That would have been, like, starting from scratch. So, really, yeah, it didn't seem like it would be worth it.
I see. So, it wasn't like you were... Yeah, I see. It wasn't like if you were building a car that you had everything but the headlights in. It was like you had to start building another car, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
So, wait, did you, like, invent those bike things? Or did you just, like, how did... They were already invented and you were like working on code or
already invented. We were just working on code to like detect whether or not you had touched explosives.
Got it. Every time I fly with a candle, they do that.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you flying with a candle?
So that when I poop, you can't smell it. That's the truth. After I poop, I light it and then I blow it out and it doesn't smell.
Wait, isn't that illegal to light something in the bathroom?
No, not on a plane when I get to the hotel. I don't care about the plane.
That's some thought, Jamie. This is taking a turn.
I poop a lot.
I do too.
Anyway.
I never would have thought about that, but now my mind is open to it. How did you find yourself studying that, Sam? Like, what was the, like, did you get in, what was like, what's the area of, I guess, engineering or science or that?
Yeah, it was electrical engineering.
Okay.
It's what I did in undergrad. And I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life. So I just figured I should go to grad school. and then within like electrical engineering, it was like an emphasis in like, called signal processing and machine learning, which is kind of like AI.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of just got assigned the projects. Didn't really have that much say in what I was doing or like that much passion in like picking a project either.
Do you feel like lucky at all that you discovered that you burnt out on this subject before it became like your entire life or career or?
Yeah, I think so. I think I have friends who are like stuck with the PhD program and like they're kind of regretting it. I also have friends who like are very happy that they're continuing with it, but it's just kind of like after you sink like 6 years of your life into it, you don't really have any other options but to like go this course. And so, yeah, I'm definitely grateful that I got out like 2.5 years in.
Interesting. What would be so sensitive about this project that it needed to be so top secret, just that like if the detection process or methods got out, then they could, I guess, people who wanted, I was gonna say evil doers, because I'm guessing George W. Bush could like it skirt what your wands were capable of, or is that the idea?
Yeah, I think because like I was given a lot of like explosives data, what do certain explosives look like, and then I guess if you were a terrorist and you saw that, you could figure a way to like maybe hide your explosives better.
Yeah.
But honestly, like the real trick is just like wash your hands before going through that thing, and like make sure your bag is clean.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Now we're gonna. Now we're gonna have to record the meat from a fucking bunker.
Sorry. Yeah, wait. If anybody from a foreign country listens to this, are we all now guilty of treason?
Maybe. That's how. Okay. Maybe you want to edit this out. I don't think so, though, because like.
Because it's not the data.
Yeah, I don't think so.
That's good enough for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think I've committed treason today on the meat.
Also, fuck the FBI agent who's combing through comedy podcasts looking for treason. What? And maybe you mentioned this, like, was there, were you nervous about like telling your family? Was that an issue at any point? Was there like anybody in your life who was like invested in this and you were like, I gotta tell you, I'm making a big shift. Like, what was that process like?
No, I think my parents were actually really happy with it. Cause, when you like, when you drop out of a PhD program in like STEM, you get like a free master's along the way.
What?
Yeah. It's like when you get admitted to a PhD program, usually like, you get like a full ride and a stipend, just for STEM programs. And like, they give you this assuming that you're going to finish the PhD program. But if like halfway through, you're like, actually, I changed my mind. You can just like do all of the requirements for a master's and just like leave. So yeah, it's like you get a free master's if you just dip out on the PhD program.
Wow. So what's your master's in?
Electrical engineering.
Got it. Okay.
Do you still do that stuff? Or, I mean, it's kind of a weird one. Do you still have a job in that, or do you work in that at all? Or is it all, are you doing the LA thing now? As much as you can during a fucking pandemic?
Yeah, so my day job is, I do data science for HBO Max. So pretty similar, like using a lot of the same techniques, trying to predict like how many subscribers we're going to have and how different content is going to change our subscriber counts.
Wow. HBO Max really lucked out, huh? They got a... by you dropping out, they got a counter-terrorist working on their data for how many people have watched Search Party.
Honestly, the problems at HBO Max are way more interesting than that explosive.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Is Arliss ever going to be on HBO Max?
Arliss?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that one. I feel like I've seen that on our list, though.
Maybe it is. I'm an HBO Max subscriber.
Oh, so. It is.
It is. It's great. What about Dream On?
Let me look that up for you.
Do you just have like a master list of what's coming out on HBO Max?
No, I'm just Googling this and it says it's on HBO Max.
He's got top secret just technology. Just Googling. There was a show called Dream On that was on HBO back in the day. And I only watched it because there was boobs on it occasionally.
I was going to say.
This is like.
It's mildly horny, I think.
Oh, when I was a 10-year-old to 12-year-old boy, that was majorly horny show to watch. One time I was on vacation with my family and my uncle had a hotel room and everyone was playing cards or something and they like put on HBO or they were like trying to put something on the TV for me and they put on Dream on HBO and I was like, this is fine, this will do, this is a fine show. And then like 3 minutes later it was just full on fucking softcore style. Anyway,
collecting this data, Sam, about your viewership at HBO Max.
Yeah.
But get Dream on HBO Max. We cut to a TSA line. A nervous kind of gentleman approaches the other side of the scanner where the and gets pulled aside by a TSA agent. Oh, what's the issue? I found something in my backpack.
We're just gonna put it through the machine, swab it real quick, if that's okay.
Okay. If it's about the candles, those are for the poops.
The poops.
Just in case I fart or I poop, I like to carry around various candles. It kind of, okay. I have to carry various ones because the scent might change based on the situation where I poop. It's a whole, like if I were to poop in the bathroom, I have just a clean vanilla because no one's really going to question that. But
Okay, so well, I see this bag is entirely full of candles.
Yeah.
You don't have anything in here. No toothbrush, no clothes.
Well, I checked my toothbrush.
Okay, well, you know, it seems a little suspicious.
It's suspicious that I checked my toothbrush? I brushed my teeth this morning.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, this is a bag entirely full of candles. And also, you know, our airport bathrooms are cleaned very regularly, and we have air fresheners in the bathrooms, so okay. You really don't need these candles.
I'm not taking your word for that. In fact, I've had many experiences that could tell you otherwise. Listen, you want me to have the candles, all right? If I'm going to drop one I don't know if you do TSA agents have their own bathrooms, or do you guys use the ones in the airport? That's an interesting question.
I'm not supposed to tell you this, but we do have our own bathrooms, and they are nice.
Wow. Well, I mean, it's private for TSA, does mean that there's like less traffic, less people, like you might actually be embarrassed if you were to go number two in one of your coworkers you have to stand next to for another 6 hours is privy to that.
Sure. I mean, sometimes I go in there and I check to make sure nobody's in the bathroom so that they
don't. You wouldn't have to if you had a sandalwood. Here.
Sandalwood, huh?
Dale, what's going on here? This line is getting really long. I see you're just smelling things in this guy's backpack. What's up? What's happening?
Oh, I'm sorry. He had a lot of candles in his backpack, and I thought, you know, maybe there were explosives. I was going to run it through the machine.
Oh, okay. Let me just.
They're not explosive.
Raspberry thyme. We have this in our TSA bathroom. That's nice. Okay.
You do?
Yeah.
That's a misuse of the raspberry thyme.
What does that mean?
This candle specifically is if you fart during breakfast.
No, that's what our pancake scented candle is for.
You have a pancake candle?
Yeah, in our TSA breakfast room. If anyone farts during breakfast, there's a pancake scented candle.
You're doing it all wrong. I don't know. Are you actually a TSA agent?
Please don't talk back to me. I'm a government agent. I could have you arrested in moments. So,
who's going to light a pancake candle during breakfast to cover a fart? It's just going to smell like off pancakes. I mean, you're basically, it's a red flag that you farted in breakfast.
Our methods are, we have our own candle system at the TSA.
Yeah, okay, well, I don't trust it, and I got my candle system, and quite frankly, I don't need any more of your guff, okay?
If you're interested, we are hiring.
No, we're not. What are you doing?
Well, he has a lot of good candle ideas, it seems, okay? And we are hiring an office coordinator.
I mean, shit, that is my work. I am an office coordinator. But, listen, I got a flight to catch to St. Louis.
We cut to these three in one of the, like, back rooms at the TSA airport. Okay, it's been brought to my attention that there was some sort of commotion out in the during a standard inspection, regarding what sort of candles we're using in the bathrooms.
Yes.
I have no choice but to assume that someone here has potentially ill will towards the government. So I'm going to have to test everybody's candle knowledge. I laid a big number two in the bathroom.
Oh, you got toilet paper stuck to your foot.
Yeah.
Light all the candles you want.
Hey.
Sorry, I don't work here.
That's right. But I brought you in as well because you seem to have a lot of ideas about this. So
yeah,
you're all going to have to go in there and tell me what kind of candle you would light to neutralize that odor. There's only one right answer. So you'll go in there. Tell me what kind of candle you'd use to neutralize that odor.
Agent Jameson, I'm going to stop you right there. I don't need to go into the bathroom to smell it. I can see from the toilet paper on your foot that this was a spinach-induced dump, if you will. And everyone knows that you contrast the smell of spinach with limoncello.
Wow.
If you didn't know that, then I don't know why you would have a job here.
Bravo.
Thank you.
I'm going to have to disagree. I know that, sir, you have irritable bowel syndrome, and that can oftentimes result in a muskier BM. So I would counter it with maybe a lavender scented candle.
Wow.
My character's down by the shoe. Well, that would be good work if maybe... I don't know, you were rookies or something like that. Yeah, that's a burn. I called you both rookies. Because you want to paint with broad brushes with this spinach, but you don't even know what kind of spinach you ate. Was it fresh spinach in a salad? Was it roasted spinach in a salad? Or was it spinach in a soup? Was it what I think it is, which was spinach he stepped on the way out of the restroom? This wasn't a spinach shit at all. This was, I think it's a decoy.
Wow.
Wow.
If I were to guess, I would say that this is a test and that we have to go smell what's going on in that bathroom. We can't just make assumptions as TSA agents.
You're not a TSA agent.
I know.
I work here.
And quite frankly, I fear for this whole country's safety, knowing that you three bozos are keeping our skies safe from evildoers or terrorists or whatever you want to call them.
Hey, so what candle would you use then?
I'd have to smell the crap. Fine, but looking at this guy, I would guess it had something to do with Reese's Pieces. All right, we'll go in the bathroom.
Pieces. Let's go. They all walk over to the bathroom.
Doesn't matter. You could say Reese's Pieces if you want.
All right, they're all sniffing around the bathroom. Oh my God, you're right. Someone left a big block of thawed frozen spinach on the floor over here.
Ha, ha,
ha. Oh, it's so exciting to meet you on this date. It's like, I'm always on Tinder. I never know if I'm going to meet someone. Mm-hmm. Usually I wouldn't meet up with a guy who told me to meet him in a soundproof building behind the university, but call me curious. I'm here.
Great. Good, good, good. Yeah. Yeah, it's just, I have a pretty top secret job, so I need you to, that's why we're meeting in this soundproof building. Did you turn your phone off like I asked?
Oh, I did, but I have a live feed coming up on my Instagram. I taste food for a living. And so eventually I'm going to have to film that. But right now it's just you and me. So my phone is off. Business for later.
Okay. Great. I did a little bit of a background check. It says
on me?
Yeah, just a little. It's just my business. I have to be careful about what I talk about, and I don't want to withhold, because I believe getting to know somebody is knowing their, you know, their past, their hopes, their dreams, things like that. And
for sure,
I want to be able to fully tell you everything. But in order to do that, I kind of had to run some checks on you. So it says you got busted in eighth grade for smoking marijuana.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't actual marijuana. I took a bunch of grass and I shoved it in a paper and I tried to smoke it. And then I've had permanent lung damage from it, but the charges were dropped. I got 2 weeks suspension, and I can't believe that even showed up on a background check.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's okay. Incredibly thorough.
That's fine. And it says one of your past relationships, his name was Pierre.
Mm-hmm. Pierre Vaughn. Mm-hmm.
Pierre Vaughn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is Pierre Vaughn French?
He is. What gave it away? Just kidding. Yeah. Pierre was French. He and I worked at Hot Dog on a Stick for a summer together. That was back in, oh my God, I was probably 17.
Okay. You don't still keep in touch with him?
I mean, only when I go back to Hot Dog on a Stick, he still works there. But
how often do you go to Hot Dog on a Stick?
Once a week. It's my favorite meal. But wait a second. I think it's a little strange to talk about, you know, ex relationships while we're on a date. I mean, I could look up yours. I could go on your Facebook here.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's pulling up.
That's right.
That's right. There's no signal in this building.
That's right.
fucking idiot.
No, you're not an idiot.
I want to. I'm leaving. It's fine. I'm dumb. I've ruined this date.
No, you're not dumb. You haven't ruined this date. Things are going well. It's okay. You don't have to be hard.
I'm a criminal.
You're not. Are you?
No.
Okay. You don't have to go on this date. However, if you don't want to continue this date, I'm going to need you to look into this little device I have called a neuralizer. It's going to wipe your memory. Then I'm going to fill in the gaps.
You don't know how many men have told me that. I'm not falling for it this time. I'm not looking at anything that will erase my memory.
Well, look, I'm not saying that you have to. I'm just saying if we don't end up becoming an item, I'm going to have to...
You're going to have to flashy thing me.
I'm going to have to flashy thing you. Yeah.
Fine. I don't want that to happen again. So let's just, I brought us both tacos. So maybe we could sit down and have a taco and not talk about my past.
That sounds great. Let's just have a couple of tacos. Where'd you get these?
Oh, well, since we're in San Diego, there's this great place just over the border. I go, I get my tacos, I bring them back. Authentic Mexican tacos. Delicious.
Interesting. Yes. How often do you cross the border?
Oh, every Friday I get my tacos. Tuesday is my corn dog cheat meal. Friday is my taco cheat meal. so yeah, once a week I'm going across the border and they're the best. It's worth it. It's worth every time you're sending in customs.
Wow. You're going to have to tell me your exercise routine, because for somebody who's eating hot dog on a stick and tacos every week, don't mind me saying, you're fit.
Oh, I appreciate it. I have a terrible, terrible butt, and everything just goes in and goes right out. Didn't find that in your background check, did you?
Actually, I did. We have record of your terrible, terrible butt. But it didn't raise any flags. You haven't done any intergalactic travel, have you?
No, I wish.
Okay.
Is that all? No intergalactic travel.
Okay.
I was supposed to be on one of those, like, spaceships with the monkey and they put a person on it, but I didn't get picked because my terrible butt. You can't have a bad butt in space. If you have a bad butt in space, shit gets wild.
Interesting. I have all that information about your bad butt, but nothing about your near space travel.
Hmm. Maybe your background check isn't so official, which is why I think we should just focus on each other.
Okay.
And you're right. How much fun we're having.
Yeah.
And you said I was fit. You're already in this like PhD program. You're what, like 19? You're like a Doogie Howser.
Yep, I'm 19. Yeah, I'm the Doogie Howser of the program. The youngest, they almost had to change the name from Men in Black to Young Boys in Black.
Wait, hold on. I thought this, you're training to be a Men in Black?
That's
a man in black?
That's correct.
Oh my God. I mean, all this time I thought you were doing something with like AI. A man in black. That is incredible.
Yeah, that's right. They insist that everything has to be top secret, but Daddy's got a date. So I just got to run a very specific list of protocols. Right.
But if we fall in love,
don't see two alien hands come out of her butt and like rip up her chair.
I said I had a bad butt.
They go back to normal.
I'm sorry, what were you saying? Okay, development department. As you know, we're looking to bring in some new, fresh, exciting stories to the HBO Max lineup. We're looking to expand our streaming library. And I gotta say, I'm a little disappointed with some of these pitches. Dream On the reboot, more Dreaming On, Dream On, anything that isn't bringing back or rebooting or sequelizing Dream On from any of you guys?
I mean, there's a lot of options on there, but
yeah, we're talking sequels, prequels, origin stories.
Yeah, I don't know what the origin story to Dream On would be. I think.
Oh, okay. I can explain it to you.
Okay.
Okay. So we come in and the theme song goes Dream On. And then we open up a door and it's just two big titties. And the titties aren't attached to a body, but they've got eyes and noses and they talk to you and they say, hello, welcome to Dream On. Are you ready for this? And they squirt milk at the camera and then that's it. I think it's a perfect, it's fun. You know, kids don't have an attention span these days. You just got to get in, get out, move on.
Whoa. Cody.
What? What?
You get a library card or read a, that is a wild pitch.
What? I read that bird by bird and like all the cats, chasing cats, whatever book you gave me about writing.
Yeah.
I read
short
them all.
Assignments.
Yeah. Short assignment, short origin story. Titties explaining. Goodbye. Credits.
Titties with eyes squirting milk. Come on. We're Warner Media. We've got so much intellectual property. We've got DC Comics. We've got the Friends franchise, Big Bang Theory, Looney Tunes. Does anybody have anything? Okay.
Fine. You know how we did the Snyder Cut?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did the Snyder Cut.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
People seem to like that. The Snyder Cut of Batman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got one. We do a dream on cut of Batman.
I like it.
What would
it's
that
It's dark.
Be?
It starts with the origin story of Batman. Batman's parent.
Good.
They get mugged in the street.
Mm-hmm.
They get killed.
Mm-hmm.
Batman's mom's titties come out.
Okay, now.
Oh, yeah. Ooh-ha, ooh-ha.
Ooh-ha.
Wow, wow.
No.
One titty explains that the two titties have a scene as they're dying. Saying, I hope my a vigilante. Go with the rest of the Batman movie.
Yeah, I think that's great.
That's mostly titties talking. I don't know why, where that's coming from. So much exposition from the boobs.
Well, what about my pitch? The Dream On the animated series.
Okay.
It's about a pair of boobs. And they're like young boobs and they're asymmetrical. And they're very self-conscious about the fact they're asymmetrical. But over the course of the series, you know, the boobs learn to love themselves for who they are. And also they teach you Spanish.
Okay. What if we replace the boobs with something else?
I am sick of these network notes. You got three of the best minds in here coming up with new ideas for HBO Max. And of course, greedy network has to get their hands off. You know what? I thought this would be different.
You know, it's not. I need something without tits in it. I need something that isn't Dream On related. So I've got a meeting with the bigwigs upstairs. I'm going to leave you in this room, and I don't want you coming out of this room until you've pitched some new ideas. Okay? So have a look at our catalog. Brainstorm. I want this whiteboard full of ideas when I get back. Lock, shut, slam.
This is awful. All right,
makes
well,
me going to write books again.
Let me start writing down some ideas. Okay, just got to get boobs out of our head.
Right, that's all so right. Easy to do. Just get boobs out of our head.
Okay. David, do you have any ideas?
Titties.
Okay, what are the opposite of boobs?
Pecs.
Like a concave chest.
Yeah.
So maybe there's something there?
Yeah.
Like a bra.
Like a bra. Oh, what if the titties are hidden by a bra so you can't see them?
Get them back down here. They run up and pull this guy down by the collar. All right. Today's your lucky day. They're
all smoking
cigarettes.
I was in a meeting with the fucking Warner Brothers. What
Not
is
anymore.
It?
The They're Warner all... Brothers?
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Okay. What do you got for me?
Let's start here. What's the opposite of tits?
The bad butt? I don't know.
God. No.
We're not making Men in Black again.
The opposite of tits is a bra. Okay? Bras take tits away from us. Bras are bad. So we have this bra that's hiding these two sweet titties that just want to tell a story. It's kind of like oppression. These boobs are being oppressed and they need to be freed.
Yeah, the bra's like the crypt keeper.
Yeah, the bra's like the crypt keeper.
the bra just kind of lets you have a little peek at some of the titties. Mm-hmm. Story, whatever.
All right. You know what? I'm under deadline. Fuck it. Let's
fight. Yay! Oh, yes. You're not going to be sorry.
We see a graph of total of streaming platform subscriptions. It starts with Netflix way on the top and HBO Max creeping up as the months go by and titty tales start happening. HBO Max shoots up the chart. Netflix plummets.
We went to Comic-Con where there's a Titty Tales booth. And then we have the voice actor of the main titty ready to sign pictures of titties.
Behind him are just two giant, like, titty characters that, like, dance around and they have eyelashes.
Okay, so everyone's lined up and they're dying to take pictures with you, you know, get your autograph signed. Your hair, though, it's looking a little bit off. I mean, usually, isn't it like the main titty, like the nipple hair is a little bit more like dreaded?
Oh, yeah, but I mean, I'm just the voice actor. I don't actually have, I'm not an actual tit with dreads. I'm just the voice
actor. I get that, but it's usually like when people read books or when they see like animation, they have a image of who the author or the voice actor is. And it's right. Just like,
if you don't the first person approach the booth. Oh, I'm at the wrong place.
No,
sir, this is Titty Tales.
Hi, I'm Abigail Breslin. I do the Titty Tales voice. Would you like an autograph?
Yeah, no thanks. Sorry, can I get one of these two titties behind you at the island? Can they sign something or?
I mean, yeah, they're just extras. They're just hired. They're day workers.
Whoa.
Well, I mean,
that says a lot about you.
I am the titty tail voice. Okay.
Yeah, this is weird. I hear the voice, but like.
Okay, close your eyes. Close your eyes and hand me that photo right there. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Whoa, that's awesome.
Yeah. See,
dear. Whoa, I'm getting talked to by a titty. Then I open my eyes and
It's still me. I'm Abigail Breslin. I'm the voice of Titty Tales.
We see his disgruntled wife standing behind him. Are you about done, honey? Did you get what you wanted?
No, I didn't get at all what I wanted.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, let's get back to the meat part of the podcast, the part of the show where a guest shares a true meaty story from their lives. Jamie, you are up.
So I felt like it's hard for me to think of like meaty stuff that happened to me. Like I texted my two best friends and was like, what's a meaty story about me? And because like anytime something happens, I'm like, remember this, but I don't. But something I do remember a lot is a breakup that I had in fifth grade. And I still probably 23 years later, like remember it vividly, like from time to time. So like I didn't date a lot in high school because I was like, I was done dating after elementary school. I had a ton of boyfriends in elementary school, but there's one in particular. His name was Will. I don't think he'll listen to this. Him and his wife share a Facebook page, which I think is fucking bizarre. So I'm like, he's not going to be listening to a comedy podcast.
Is it one of those that's like Will and Lucy?
Yes.
Is it the first name or something?
It's like Will and her, like, it's like Will Jamie. Like the name is like combined and then their last name. I actually can't remember her name. Not that I have looked at it.
That screams to me trust issues.
That's how I feel. It's like you want to have, and especially on Facebook, it's like, come on. But so Will and I dated on and off kind of all through elementary school. He was my first kiss. We pecked in the photo booth at a Skate Express, and I was mortified that my parents would find out. Mm-hmm. And then we broke up a few times. I dated this guy who I broke up with because people made fun of me because I put on his jacket and like the sleeves were too short on it because I was taller than him. It's like I was the dick there. And I dated around a little bit. And then Will and I got back together after fifth grade camp because he was dating this girl, Ashley, and she broke up with him because he wore a dress during the talent show. And I was like, I don't care. Which I also danced to Big Wiggly Style during that talent show. And I was like, great. So Will and I get back together and things are great. He gives me a Matchbox 20 tape. He gives me like a little, like one of those like little like adjustable gold rings with like the teeny tiny gemstone in it. And we were doing great. And then one day he decided to break up with me. And I so like vividly remember it because my elementary school was like, there was like classrooms and then there was like the big grass, like playground and just all the grass area. And then there was portables, like portable kind of like, I don't know, like trailers kind of where the fifth and sixth graders were. And so we were like walking there in the like portable area. And we decided to break up. He was going to start dating my friend Taryn, which was also heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. And I told him, he was like, whatever, we're done. And I said, get a life. And he looked around, he turned back at me. He said, get a tan. And I, and it was the greatest clapback of all time. I still think about it because it was so quick. I was like, wow, that's so funny. I don't tan. It's incredible how I don't. And I genuinely was like, this is something that I still think about constantly. And I wonder if I like reached out to him, if he would remember, but that would be fucking crazy if I reached out to him and was like, hey, remember when we were 10, broke up with me? Like it's something I so genuine. And then I think I moved on and I dated probably like an eighth grader or something. That was fine.
In fifth grade?
Yeah. Yes.
Ooh, nice. Wow. Yeah.
That is,
I know.
Did that's the kind of thing that like, so you seem to say that like the get a tan part, you remember that pretty vividly.
So vividly.
Did that like affect you later on? Did you like try to go tanning? Was
for
that
sure.
Like, something you were self-conscious 100%
about? I did. I like, and this was in like the 90s still. I went and got like the like lotion. Like there wasn't tanning beds or anything at that time. Or you were like too young to go. So I like got, yeah, I totally did. I was like devastated. Oh, I also, my dad and I used to go deep sea fishing a lot. So we like, after Will and I broke up, we went on a deep sea fishing trip and I threw the ring and the Matchbox 20 tape into the ocean. and I'm 10. And like, I feel like, cause I feel like I, there'll be like breakups I have now. And I'm like, I don't really remember what happened. Like, unless it's a bad breakup and you're just like, oh yeah, we like just sort of like broke up.
Right. Uh-huh.
But this one, it's like, just, it was really hard. It was like my first, I think it was my first heartbreak.
Oh.
Yeah.
First one is the hardest, right? First cut is the deepest.
That
is true though. Like when you fall in love with the, and like and get your heart broken at those age, it's like all consuming.
Yeah. We used to tell each other that we loved each other on the phone. Like, I also think like if I was my parents and my like 10-year-old was saying that they loved some boy, I'd be like, what? I don't know if I would just let them be like, whatever, it's fine. Or if I'd be like, no, you don't. You don't understand.
I think about that all the time, how like the patience required of a parent to sort of like indulge their kids, like first crushes or loves. And it's like, we're going to go to the same college and get married or whatever. And it's like, you probably aren't. But yeah, and then like that breakup coming and you have to just like be like sympathetic towards it, even though it's like, it's fine.
It's only going to get worse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How old would your kid have to be before you'd be like, yeah, I believe this. I believe they're in love.
Wow, Sam. Great question. I'm not thrilled about my knee-jerk response.
What was it?
Wait, what is it?
Just like, I don't... Any time? just like, okay, well, we'll see. Like,
mine would be 35.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question.
I don't know. I think I would always just be like having to not be like, it's going to get worse. It's going to get harder. I also think all the short relationships I had were always harder. Like I dated a guy for like a second in college. And when we broke up, I was devastated. But then I'll have like 3-year long relationships. And of course it's like a bummer, but you're like, okay, you just kind of like move on. But those short little flames.
Yeah, I agree.
Burn deep.
I agree with that.
I say as I'm literally 23 years later still thinking of this breakup I had in fifth grade.
That's a lot of dating for fifth grade. I remember like, I don't think your experience is going to be much different from mine, but like dating in elementary school was basically like, maybe you'd go to the mall together or hanging out at recess or something.
Yeah, you would like hold hands at recess. You'd wear their like jacket if they were on like a or ASOS or whatever soccer team. and then like go to Skate Express. Skate Express was big for us because it was like the one place that our parents like felt safe dropping us off. And maybe the mall. But I think mainly Skate Express.
We had Butler Skateland.
Are those, same idea. I don't know what those are.
They're just like skate roller rinks.
Okay.
They have one like now that's I think cool again, but we used to have skate nights in elementary school. And I think it was for all the grades, but it was like you held hands during the slow songs. You knew who was official because of who was holding hands to skate night. Yeah.
Do you think that he was being clever or he had that one like preloaded?
I bet it was something that he wished internally through the term of our relationship that I had slightly darker skin and I wasn't opaque. Like I feel like it's probably something he complained about to like his friends, like Jamie's great, but man, she's so white. And the way it came out, it's like, you know, when you get in a fight now with your significant other and you're like, well, you don't put the dishes in the sink. And it's like, we're arguing about something else. I feel like it was like that. Mm-hmm. Cause he was funny, but not that funny.
Right.
And it came like, I can so vividly remember it. So I think it was like I think he was expelling some internal demons he had with our relationship.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I've had that happen before where like someone was trying to describe me to someone else and they were like, it was from a show. Like they knew I was a comedian, so they had that context, but they said like, brown hair, a little shorter. And then they said like, clothes don't fit him right or something like that. And then the person guessed it right away. They were like, oh, Josh Simpson. And I was like, what the fuck? Everyone think that? Like my clothes are weird on me.
That's so funny.
But it's honest. So you can't like be mad at it, but it's just like everyone, that's the clue that got it.
But it's like then you're thinking like, oh, every time these people watch me in a show, they must be like, okay, welcome to state. And like you come out and you're like getting a suggestion and they're like, his clothes just don't fit right.
Yeah.
Like he's real funny, but man, why doesn't he get a belt? Like
made me readjust my wardrobe for real.
Good. Yes. see, it like you internalize it.
I did. What were you going to say, Jake? Before
I was just like, like sometimes, and I wish I could think of a specific example, but it's like, I think I, the same way you go back and like watch a show that you liked as a kid and you're like, oh, I remember this being better than it was or whatever. Yeah. It's like, there are like kids that I grew up with that I were like, man, they were so like clever and funny. And then like, as like when I was an actual teacher, it was like, I didn't really ever come across too many teenagers who were that clever.
Okay, so I know we've been stuck on this island for a long time, and I know your spirits have been down lately, but
yeah,
I think things are about to turn around, okay? Because you'll never believe what I just found.
I hope it's fucking food.
It's not food. It's a Matchbox 20 CD and a little toy plastic ring. It just washed up on shore.
Wait, what?
It's I'm going to fucking choke you.
No. It's a Matchbox 20 CD, you know, like Rob Thomas, and a little ring.
We asked you to figure out how to fish, and you came back with a Matchbox 20 CD and a little gold ring. You came back with garbage. We don't have a tape player.
Okay, well, one day we'll get one of those.
Who are you going to give? Who are you going to give the ring to?
I don't know. I mean, at this point, it doesn't seem like Jamie or Josh is going to get this ring.
Well,
I don't want it.
And I'm your husband, so I don't think you should be giving it to anyone else.
So it sounds like you do want this ring, then, huh?
I think I want you to be the man of this situation for a minute. Be one of the men of this situation, but I'd love you to be the man of the situation and figure out how to fucking fish. I'm starving. Look at this hut I made when you were gone.
That's excellent craftsmanship, all right? And look at what I brought home, music and jewelry. It's not food, but they're still nice things.
We're going to die out here.
Yeah.
No, don't say that.
We're going to fucking die out here.
Look, Sam, I carved your name into the rocks over there.
Jesus Christ, at least hide it.
Oh, really? wait, where? Show me. Over there?
Yeah, over there.
You know my middle name?
That's right, Randolph.
Oh my gosh. You know what? Maybe I should give you this ring.
You should chop down the tree like I asked you to instead of carving little romances into it.
You know what, Jake? Take this ring, okay?
Oh, look, you got the ring.
Take the ring. And take the CD, too. Take the CD. This is my mixtape for you.
That's excellent. Now I've got something to play in my boombox.
It's a crank. You got a crank generator? Is that what that is?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's 3 a.m. on my spin.
Turn that off. Oh my God.
And I said, baby.
Stop it. No one wants
I'm
to
not
hear.
Even hungry anymore.
I'm starving.
Yes. Every time we ask you to crank the radio to get the news, you say, I can't. I have a bad elbow. I have never seen someone crank that hard in my life.
I have a bad elbow,
but I could sense that the mood was getting a little sour, so I put that aside for the benefit of the group. That's what someone with a ring does.
All right, fine. Well, I went into the woods, and I found a bunch of berries. I don't know if they're poisonous or not, but I figured we could all rummage through them and see what happens.
Okay, that's a good start. We got berries.
And I also collected some berries and smashed up these cocoa beans and used a little coconut milk to make chocolate, and I dipped them in chocolate. Sam?
Chocolate-covered chocolate. Oh, my God.
Those are berries, you fucking moron.
What?
He covered the berries in chocolate.
Oh, God. I mean,
not surprised he doesn't recognize a chocolate covered berry. Last Valentine's Day, he got me coupon for free hugs.
Hey, that was so hard to find paper on this island.
You know, you're right. That is true. We could have burned the paper and for a fire. How long have we been?
It's 3 a.m. Still must be lonely.
Turn the fucking radio on. We shouldn't even have a CD function for this thing. This is for... I didn't think this thing worked, but you turned it into a CD player. It's supposed to be a transmitter radio so we can pick up signals. You called it your boom box?
Uh-huh.
This is a boom box. This is our survival equipment. And Jesus God, did you stick flares? Wait, is this a little...
You turned it into like a DJ booth.
That's right. All right, party people.
What the hell?
Grab the one you love.
Nice. Hey, DJ, can I make a request?
No. You,
of course.
Oh my God. Can you play 3 a.m. by Matchbox 20?
You got it.
Turn it off. Mom must be lonely.
I'm wiping my ass with tree bark. Okay? The last thing I ate was a poisonous berry. All right? I don't even know how many days it's been since February 14th.
Yeah, but today our plane went down Valentine's Day. All of us.
But it's not Valentine's Day anymore. And if there was Valentine's within this group, it would be me and my husband. Would be Valentine's.
Would it? He gave me the ring.
Just, can we survive first? Can we get through this first?
We ate my husband the first day the plane went down. There was still food.
Yeah.
We have to eat Tony. And so I said, okay, fine. So.
We may have overreacted a little bit on that.
Yeah.
Look.
It's okay.
And I apologize for that. You know, I'm sorry. We're stuck on this island and I think our past lives are behind us. Okay. So, yeah. Are you two married? Yes. But did Sam give me a blowjob in the hot tub last night? Yes, he did.
What's a hot tub? Do you have a hot tub?
It's a wave pool that we both peed in to make it warm.
That sounds disgusting.
It was warm, though.
You gave a blowjob in there, Sam?
Yeah, okay.
I mean, we are open, but I have lost count of the days, but you've turned into an animal.
I'm so lonely out here, okay?
You are? I'm out here with you.
Yeah, but you've been yelling at me ever since we got on this island, and all the little trinkets I give you, the seashells, the Rob Thomas CD, the ring, none of it seems to impress you anymore.
It's sea trash. It's sea trash.
All I'm saying is if you're not careful, you're going to lose Sam if you don't start appreciating him. Sam, look at that. I point up in the sky and there's a plane doing sky riding that says, I love you, Sam.
How did you do that?
Jake, you have contacts with the plane and you didn't use it to save us?
What? Yeah. What?
Sam, don't blow him right here, right now, here and now.
Oh my God.
No, I can't help myself, all right?
Because I said, baby. Knock, 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 knock. Oh, God, I'm nervous. Ding dong. Oh, jeez.
Hello?
Hi. this is crazy. It's me, Josh. You're Samantha, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, we dated in fifth grade. Summer camp, actually.
We were sort of steady. Oh, my God.
Remember?
Yeah,
at Lake
Josh.
Owen. Yeah, the Lake Owen camp.
Right.
yeah. anyway, that was fun. That was crazy. How are your 30s going? Sorry, I don't know how to open.
Well,
this.
I'm open. What? I'm married with kids. You could have reached out to me on Facebook. Is everything okay? This is really taking me by surprise.
I Facebook isn't secure for me, but I wanted to ask, the only way I could do this is in person. Hey, you said something at the end of camp when we went our separate ways. You said, I said, like, well, hopefully we'll see each other soon. Who knows? And you said, not until you get a new nose.
I said that?
Yeah, you don't remember?
No, I don't. I mean, I'm sorry. I feel awful about that. Is
do you have an inkling of why you might have said that?
I don't know. I was kind of a jerk, I think, in camp, and
well, I got a new nose.
You got a new nose because of that?
Yeah. Little rhinoplasty.
That's your new nose?
What?
That's your...
What did you say?
Nothing. Nothing.
You said,
no, it looks
you
fine.
Said it weird. No, you said it. You said it aghast.
It looks fine. No.
No, you said it. Is there something wrong with my new nose?
No.
You said
I just.
It's too quick for you to just set off the cuff. It's obviously meant to steep. I gotta go.
Wait. No. What?
We cut to 20 years later. Ding dong.
Son, daughter, could you get the door? Could someone get the door?
Sure, sure, I got it, Dad.
Thanks.
We see someone with a coat up to held above their nose, like the Phantom of the Opera, I guess. They're holding their coat over their face.
Hi, can I help you, sir?
Hi, this is awkward. Is this where? Is this Jake's house? Is this Samantha's house? I'm sorry. Is this Samantha's house? Is someone named Samantha? Is your mother named Samantha?
That's my mom's name. Yeah. Are you looking for?
Can you please get Samantha for me?
Okay. Well, she had an accident recently, so her hip isn't really great. But I guess I can get her down here for you.
Who
really?
Is it?
What's your name, sir?
My name's Josh from Lake Owen Summer Camp.
It's Josh from Lake Owen Summer Camp, Mom.
We had a bit of a fling. It was pretty hot and heavy for most of the week that we spent fifth grade.
I don't need to know.
You've never been to camp before?
I mean, I've been to camp, but I don't need to know that about my mom.
Okay, and it's hard to imagine, but your mom, your mom was a person too.
Oh, Mom, be careful on the stairs.
Yeah, Mom, be careful.
Oh, hello. Looks like old Lady Karma paid you a visit.
Excuse me?
Looks like the old hips aren't working like they did back at Lake Owen camp. Do you remember me? We knew each other back at Lake Owen. We dated for a while. At the end of our week, I said, well, hopefully we see each other again soon. Who knows? And you said, yeah, especially if you don't something. My memory's fuzzy now. There's something along the lines of maybe, especially if you don't get yours fixed or something. Especially with your nose being like that. And then I got a nose, and then I showed up to your door. 20 years after that, so we must have been about in our 30s. And then you said, I showed you my new nose, and then you said, that's a new nose. That's your new nose.
I'm so sorry. My late husband was one of the men in black, and they erased my, I got neuralized. So I don't really remember anything.
You don't remember? I thought,
but that's a new nose.
This is my dog.
That's so funny.
You got him.
This is my double. This is my second new nose.
Oh my god! Who knew mom was such a bully? I love it.
I saved up for 15 years to get the second nose.
Boy, so that's a new nose that caught up with your old face.
Oh. Hey Josh, we still have a dinner. Oh mom!
Oh, your hips better, mom.
Mom.
Jamie, could you come downstairs? Your father and I would like to talk to you.
Yeah, what's up?
Do you want to... Anything you want to tell us?
Is everything okay?
The photo booth from the roller rink called.
Oh.
We have pictures of your first kiss.
See, the father's pouring a stiff glass of straight whiskey.
I mean, Mom, that was a long time ago. I'm in town for my wedding. I'm in town for my wedding. I'm 29 years old. Where did you get this?
The photo booth company went out of business. And... Uh-huh. You know how your father likes to go to police auctions.
Oh, God.
And he found that photo booth. We were going there to possibly get a boat. But instead, we bid on an old photo booth for nostalgic purposes. And it had a bunch
of... And we found out our... Found out our daughter.
Don't say it. Don't. Look, listen.
Kissing all around town.
Yeah, I was in fifth grade. Okay, I was curious. I didn't, you know, just a kid.
Smashes the whiskey in his hand.
Dad, that's 100% crystal. Okay, listen.
Fifth grade, that doesn't make it any better.
Does it make you guys feel better that I'm marrying Andrew? Okay.
Does Andrew know?
Andrew's the guy I kissed in that photo. I'm marrying my fifth grade love, okay?
I can't trust him. He pours himself another whiskey.
Ugh. Okay, look, I lied. It wasn't Andrew. It was his twin brother, Andrew. And he doesn't know.
Close my hands.
Dad, those are my wedding,
two glasses in
that's my wedding hand. China, okay? My wedding crystal. Listen. You guys have to stop freaking out about this, because if Andrew knows I made out with Andrew, he's never going to marry me, okay? It was fifth grade. I was wild, okay? I got straight A's. I wanted to be a little bad. So I kissed a guy, no tongue, lips closed, in the photo booth at Escape Express. It was one time, okay? People make mistakes.
Oh, we cut to the next day at the wedding. Mr. and Mrs. Simpson, there's a photo booth there, actually, if you want to get your picture taken.
Here? There's a photo booth here?
Yeah. Jamie said she really wanted a photo booth at our wedding. And, yeah. You know, who am I to say no?
Just take a photo.
Honey, would you like to take a photo in the photo booth? Or are we too old to take a photo in the photo booth and kiss each other?
No, you're fine. You can go take a photo in the photo booth and kiss each other.
Yeah, I didn't bring any condoms.
That's okay. You don't need condoms for the photo booth, actually. You just go in and you press the button.
Yeah. Oh, we don't need condoms in the photo booth.
No.
Might want to talk to your twin about that.
Dad. Don't kiss with condoms. You kiss with lips. Condoms go on your penis.
Well, I don't know what's happened in that photo. I don't know what's happened in that photo booth, since apparently it's where...
It's not the same photo booth. It is not the same photo booth.
Well, apparently that's where, according to what you're doing in fifth grade, it's where all the fucking and sucking in town happens in a photo booth.
We see him crush a flower vase that was set up for the wedding.
I have to pay for that.
I can't anymore. This whole wedding just feels off.
Sir, it's fine. This was one of my brother's Anther's favorite hobbies, just taking photo booth pictures.
Oh, I bet it was. I bet it was.
Yeah, I miss him so much, and it's just really it's great that I could have this little memento.
He's dead.
My wedding from.
He was in a photo booth when he died. He was at the South County Fair when that giant truck drove through and killed everyone, and he was the one in the photo booth. There's photos of it. It's terrible. So please stop bringing up Anthru and photo booths at my wedding.
I have to ask, did it take four photos of him?
Yeah.
Because
on impact, it just kept flashing and flashing.
It was like a time lapse of him dying. Yeah. And like, I have them and it's really hard to look at, but I force myself to do it sometimes just to remember him.
Yeah.
Well, can't say that. That seems like poetic justice.
I'm honestly surprised you picked to have a photo booth here.
In hindsight, it's a little insensitive, but we wanted to pay memory to Anthru. And, you know, no cars can drive on this road, so it's fine.
He died doing what he loved, getting his photo taken in a photo booth.
Yeah. He loved it a lot.
Well, yeah, I bet. Well,
shall we take a photo and get this ceremony over with?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Let's all just go in there, mom and dad, take a photo, and we'll put it in our scrapbook.
How do you want to do this, sweetheart?
Two arms come out of my butt.
Mother, not at my wedding. You put those hands back.
You don't talk about your mother's bad butt.
It is my wedding.
Oh, I thought anything goes in the photo booth. I thought it was just free reign in the photo booth.
It's just a photo booth. It's a regular photo booth that you take pictures in.
Me kissing someone in a photo booth does not mean you can bring out your alien arms at my wedding.
I start lighting candles in the photo booth. Maybe I'll just take a big old shit in here.
Oh, it's a rental.
Someone light a candle.
But what scent would you light, huh? You probably, huh?
Cinnamon.
Yeah, everyone knows cinnamon.
It's by the churro stand.
Fine. Are you happy?
All right, it's time for the for the bride to dance with her daddy. All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Meat Improv. Thank you so much for being on. That was a blast, y'all.
That was really fun.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Had a play with you.
Alien butts, fart candles, it all made it in. So now we will go around and I'll give you a chance to plug whatever you like. So let's do that. Sam, what do you got? Anything?
Not really in quarantine. You can follow me on Instagram at SAMD followed by 8 E's.
Sam D 8 E's. Is it just like your last name is spelled? Sam D I and then 8 E's?
It's D E E E E E E.
Oh, okay.
I think shorter was taken already.
7 E's was taken?
Yeah, it was.
Oh my God.
I just kept on pressing E until I got it.
Awesome.
So 8 E's. Jamie, what do you want to plug?
Instagram and Twitter at Jamie Gaul, G-A-U-L. I wish I had a show. Maybe when the world goes back to whatever it is, you can come see Cardinal Redbird. Follow them on us on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's very fun. Yeah. That's it.
Jake?
Check out Wii shows if you want on Twitch at twitch.tv/WeeImprov. That's all I got too.
I'm at Mr. Josh Simpson on Twitter, Josh Simpson on Instagram. The Meat is on all the social platforms at The Meat Improv. And we have our Patreon. Usually have a weekly episode called The Potatoes where Jake and I talk about improv stuff. We're not doing that at the moment, but we have a huge backlog and that's just $5 a month. So if you want access to that, patreon.com/meetimprov. That's it. Thanks so much for listening. Tell a friend if you like the show. Stay safe out there. And we'll see you next time on The Meat!
The Meat!
Improv.